Thanks for joining us. Hello, welcome to On The Mic. My name is Mike. That there is Sam Mack,
Hi.
The world's greatest weatherman, cat lover, and he's sadly single. So today, it's not On The Mic. It's the Sam Mack Dating Show. Are you lonely? Are you single? Are you unlucky in love? Well, so's this guy. Bumble didn't work. Or any of those weird dating apps? Well, you've come to the right place. Just make the comment down the bottom. Or maybe you've got a friend or family member who you would like to introduce to this young man. You are still single, aren't you?
I am still single. I didn't realize this was a roast show.
No,
I thought we were mates, Mike.
It's not. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Mack.
Great to see you. Thank you for having me.
Look at this. A couple of beers.
Yeah. Blokes having beers.
I'm so excited to have you here. Been trying to get you on the show for ages. I just think that you're doing such a brilliant job.
Thank
on
you,
Sunrise,
mate.
Being the weatherman and traveling all over Australia. Australia absolutely love you. Everywhere you go, people
have
are
you
making,
done a survey? Have you
people,
done some research
people,
into
well,
that?
I watched a show and I watch your Instagram because it's so entertaining. You're playing songs to your cat. I think
I am.
Always love you the other day.
I mean,
day.
Some say entertaining, some say sad, but yeah, that. Thank you.
And like, there's people coming up to you during your weather reports and little kids have drawn you pictures that you're sticking on your fridge.
I love that.
Like, mums are making you pairs of shorts.
Nanas are knitting me things.
With your cat on it.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it? It must
I
be
am.
Having a blast.
It is weird. Like, to go to somewhere, for example, last week, we're in a chuka. And I've never been to a chuka in my life. And I go to a
that
chuka.
That sounds like an indigestion problem.
Yeah, well.
Chuka.
It could be. But we were fine. We had a nice meal at a Greek restaurant there. I can't remember the name of it. But these people that live on this completely foreign space that I've never visited, who know all these things about you. Because I forget, I'm sure you're the same. Sometimes you just say things on a show, in a podcast, on a TV thing, on a radio thing, and you forget that people actually remember it.
Yeah.
So people come up and they want to talk in detail about, you know, how one of your cat has issues with its size and it's a plus size model and it's also blind, or how the other one only has one tooth and suffers from a very serious condition known as RBF, resting bitch face.
Yeah.
But they want to talk about this stuff and I forget that they know all this stuff.
I thought that was your cat's name, resting bitch face. Because I'm a friend of mine, friend of ours, Sammy Power, she loves cats as well.
Yeah.
And she's the one who first got me on your Instagram and said, look at all the stuff this guy's doing. Oh, his cat cracks me up. She told me your cat's name was RBF. I'm like, what does that stand for? Resting bitch face. But it's Coco.
It's Coco. And I can tell you some very exciting news about Coco.
Oh.
Coco will be featuring in the next couple of weeks on a magazine called Puss Week, which is an actual magazine written by cats for cats. So the types of topics they cover in Puss Week are things like, you know, plastic bags, can we trust them? Or the little red dot, is it worth chasing it? Or my owner rubbed me on my tummy inappropriately, who do I tell?
So it's, who comes it's up pretty, with this?
This amazing lady named Bexy.
Yeah.
And so Coco will be the first ever Australian cover cat of Puss Week magazine coming up in the next couple of weeks.
That's incredible.
I don't know if you can tell, but I'm a huge stage dad. I'm kind of
really?
Like Demir Dokic without the dodgy stuff.
Yeah, so you're very loving. Do you put her through any training? Did she do any photo shoots beforehand?
It's a reward process. So if she poses hilariously in a Santa costume, she gets some raw chicken. And that I think that's a fair deal. That's like show business.
How do you know when she's happy? Because your cat always looks sad. And your cat's got, incidentally, has got its own Instagram account.
Yes, Life of Miss Coco. She's approaching 7,000 followers. I know she's happy when she's purring. And that's how you can tell a cat's happy.
Yeah, me too. Is it weird for you traveling around Australia and people coming up to you and knowing all this stuff about you?
It is a little bit weird. I find it, at first I find it a bit confronting, but then once I get chatting to people, it's actually quite nice that they take an interest and they remember all these things, you know. Like you said, little kids who draw pictures of the cats, and a little kid drew me the other day, but I had no hands. I don't know why. Like, I was a little bit alarmed about that.
So do you not use your hands when you're presenting?
Maybe there's normally a microphone attached to it, and she couldn't. Microphones are difficult to draw for a 6-year-old. But
yeah, probably I'm not going to bother with the microphone. Just going to draw the guy with no hands.
Yeah,
fair enough.
So what I'm saying is it wasn't good enough to make the fridge. So you know, kids need to work hard and they need to be talented if they're going to make my fridge.
Does it ever go wrong when you're out there? Because I know what it's like. You know, when you've got to get a crowd together and you're about to do across and you think they're going to say the right thing and they just don't. Like, or there's that well-known clip where a lady goes to speak to a little kid and he just keeps saying, I love turtles.
I love that clip.
I love turtles.
How good is that clip?
So does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, all the time. Kids are often very chatty off the air, but it's something about the energy and the lights and the, you know, the fact that it's live where they will literally say nothing. So I often will just sort of say, you know, oh, and you know, what's your favorite thing about living in a chuka? And they just freeze up and I go, his answer is that good. We're going to hear it after your weather. And that's the great thing about my role is that if something goes really bad or if we need a breather or time to reset something up, you can just throw to the weather and then read the weather. And while that's happening, I've got a great producer, the human emoji, Sean Flynn, who looks like an emoji.
I've seen him. He drives you around sometimes.
He does,
I think I saw you doing
it. He's more than a chauffeur.
Like, he was overtaking someone and you were saying, go, do it now. Does that feel good? Like, right. you give him a bit of stick.
Oh, well, you have to. You know, we spend about 50 or 60 hours a week together. Yeah. So you have to have that sort of, you've got to make it
fun. You got to get up pretty early too. Like Grant Denyer, like, did it for many years.
Yeah.
And he hated the hours and had to get out of it. And a lot of other weathermen go, this is a joke. I'm going, because you got to get up earlier than everyone else because you're going so far out to these country towns.
Oh, absolutely. I kind of trick myself and just say that I'm doing a late night show, like just a really late night show.
Really?
That I, you know,
so
get
you
up
stay
at about
awake
four,
all night.
Yeah, sometimes. Just if you watch the show, you can tell. But yeah, first cross is at about 5:30 and then every half an hour we do a cross. But you said really nice things about me at the start of the show. Thank you. I know you edit that bit out. But I wanted to say that I love watching you on Big Brother Up Late.
Oh, stop it.
No, honestly,
really?
It was one of my favorite things to watch because there was something about watching that show, and I'm sure a lot of your followers would have watched it. Mm. There was an unpredictability about it, and there was an energy, which I often find that I get myself in these situations, that's the most exhilarating and exciting stuff to make, because so much of TV and radio
is prepared.
Yeah, and it's like a script, and then you throw to this, and you've only got 12 seconds here. Mm. But that show, I used to love, sometimes I could tell that you were really like, what am I going to do here? And I could tell, but
nothing.
You'd get through it. And like, I remember watching one night, I think you ordered a pizza into the studio, and it was like, what time will he arrive? Will he be here within half an hour? They always say they will. And I just loved it. So thank you for keeping me very entertained for a number of years on the show.
Dude, you say that, but thank you for making something live look so exciting. And you hit the nail on the head there. And I think that's what TV's missing and where, you know, the internet and a lot of live stuff that we're seeing on web shows is so exciting because, like, you just don't see the unpredictability.
Yes.
And I think if the major networks need to save their asses, they need to put more people on TV that are going to do stuff that's not predictable.
Yeah.
Stuff that's a little bit random. Stuff that they got to let things stuff up.
Yeah.
Because when things stuff up, people talk about it.
Totally.
They'll go to work the next day and go, oh, did you see the show last night where he smashed the whole set by accident?
Yes,
or the set.
I agree.
Grant Kennedy used to do it all the time.
I 100% agree. And I'm trying to do bits of that where possible. But obviously, you know, we've got time restraints and, certain parameters. But I think that there needs to be more of that. And I think a lot of it is just down to risk taking.
Yeah.
Being willing to, put the microphone near a kid and you don't know what they're going to say. Or chat. We had one the other day where I was chatting to one person in Geelong and this guy who I hadn't met yet started shouting something out in the background. And I could tell that he was, a pretty wild dude. And I had to make that split second decision. Do I just go hello and keep going? Or do I put the mic? And I put the mic over there and he said, I got married in this park. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. What's your name? He's like, Stefan. Yeah. I'm like, oh, good to meet you, Stefan. And he's like, and he's just kind of like, clearly he'd been drinking for about 7 days, but that's all right, And I said, and I had that moment where I could easily have just moved on, but I thought, I think Australia deserves to know more about Stefan. And I'm like, Stefan, are you still married? Like, nah, I'm not with that lady anymore, but I'm looking for a new lady. And I'm like, this is great.
That's the best stuff.
This is so
good.
They
need more of that.
And you've just got to be willing to take those risks and know that it could fail dismally, but often the failure is the funniest part.
Yeah. Do you ever have any of the bosses, you probably can't say this anyway, saying, oh, be really careful, like, please don't speak to too many kids or don't do this. Or do you have a lot of...
Not yet. Police? Like, I, honestly, credit to them. They've been really supportive and rarely will they say don't do that. I think because more often than not, we're getting good stuff from people. I think people have so many great stories. Like Andrew Denton used to do that show where, Enough Rope, and then he did the version where it was like normal Australians. And there were amazing stories. I think, honestly, there's so many cool things that you can learn from just putting a microphone near someone and not scripting it and not over-prepping them, just letting them be themselves and not... Because I think if you try to prep it too much, then they overthink it and they don't deliver a natural, they don't perform naturally. Whereas if you kind of go randomly, oh, hello, mate, how are you? Then you're going to get, like, they're not going to have time to overthink it. So I'm a big fan of that. Doesn't always work, obviously, but if it doesn't work, then it's your job to kind of get out of it or,
I would always have people saying, oh, Mike, what are you going to say? Or, because they think that me looking like I'm going to be unpredictable and not knowing what I'm going to do is what's really going on. I actually am quite calculated with knowing which direction I'm going to take something, or if someone carries on like an idiot, I put on the microphone, I'll say something funny and walk off. But some people who just don't work in that world, they absolutely freak out.
Because, they do.
And especially in this day and age, because you know, sponsorship's sort of dying a little bit in the free-to-air TV and so many traditional media spaces. And they're doing the different things like digital media, and that's increasing. So you've got to be careful. But, mate, it's great. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Keep doing it.
Thanks, mate.
And so it's your first time being a weatherman?
It is.
So how are you handling the weather and all the terminology and stuff? Because when I was got my first start in radio when I was about 16, I was working in 2RE Taree.
Were you?
And I had to go out to the weather station every day and check the barometric pressure, and I had to look at the clouds and match them up with photos.
What was this, the 1930s?
Pretty much. I had to type it into a computer. And
really?
I had to go to the weather station, and then, you know, they print out the...
So you were a real weatherman.
I was a real weatherman. But that was while I was doing a late show. Like every announcer at Coastal Radio 2RE had to do that as a part of their shift.
See.
They had to go out and update the weather
Good
station.
Good grounding.
And I'd forget. And if you didn't do it, you'd get in trouble off the boss. But one day I locked myself out of the station and I had a long song playing. I can't remember what it was, in November Rain or something like that. And all of a sudden, I'm like, how am I going to get back in? I couldn't get back into the station, tried to climb in windows. I had to smash the window to get in and get back on air. Luckily, I got there before the song finished. And I told my boss, he goes, why didn't you just let dead air happen until we got someone there? I'm like, yeah, fair enough. Probably didn't have to do
but
that. It was the country.
I get that, though, because growing up, you have this thing that dead air is worse than anything in your life.
It's the worst
I used
feeling.
To have nightmares about it. Because I used to panel as well in radio. I'd panel the desk. And I used to have this reoccurring nightmare where, so I was paneling the show. This is while I was living in Perth and working at 92.9.
Yeah.
And I would go to push, like, you know, to start a song or to start an ad break or something. We'd finish our chat. And the button would start moving, right?
You couldn't push.
And then I'm like trying to go like that. And then everyone runs to the studio, which is what happens when things go off the air or when something happens. Everyone runs to the studio and they're all like, push the button, Sam. Push the button, Sam. And I'm like trying to find this button that I'm never going to get. And I used to have that same nightmare at least once every couple of weeks.
I have the nightmare where the song's running out.
Yes.
And I'm falling asleep. But when I go home and I'm actually sleeping... I'm dreaming that the song's been. I keep waking up like, where's the button? Oh, I'm in bed, and then I get back to sleep. Did you ever have any moments where you fell asleep on air when you were doing a radio show? Because I worked on Midnight to Dawn. I found
that
really hard at Today FM in Sydney.
I did that a couple of times, but never like as a regular gig.
They had a survey party, and I thought, I'll just have a few beers.
Yeah.
You know how when you don't have enough beers to party, but you just have a couple, and then you're tired within an hour?
Oh, it hits you hard, yeah.
I fell asleep at like 4 o'clock in the morning.
So what did you wake up to?
I woke up to dead air. And all I did is just started pushing all the buttons, and the hotline was ringing. And it was a girl from promotions, and she goes, "What? There's nothing on air." And I go, "Oh, there's something on air. What are you talking about?" She's like, "Did you fall asleep?" I'm like, "No, I'm wide awake. The song's just started."
Do you know how long you were? They had dead air for.
I was too scared to check. But years later, one of the announcers that was there, I think his name was Rob McCasker.
Yeah, I know.
He said, "Oh, it's all right, mate. We deleted the dead air off the logger, so you wouldn't get trouble."
Nice, that's cool.
Isn't that lovely.
That's cool. I had one where. This was while I was in Adelaide, and I was working during the daytime doing like daytime announcing. That's how I sort of started out. And for some reason, I'm not normally someone who goes out during the week, but I had this big Thursday night and I wasn't supposed to be on air till like 1 or 2 p.m. the next day. Mm. And woke up to like 7 missed calls and banging on my door because they needed me to fill in on the breakfast show. Right? This is starting at sort of 5, 6 a.m.
Oh,
I got home at about 3:30, had a massive night, was in no state to do it. And the only way that they knew to come to my house was because one of the assistant producers was a mate of mine. He's like, I'll go get him. I'll go to his house. I know where he lives. It's 5 minutes away. He's like, you've got to come on in the air. They need you to fill in. And I'm like, oh, I can't do it. I'm really not in a good way. I should not be near a microphone.
Yeah.
And they're like, mate, get in the car. I'm getting you some water and some mints. You're doing this show.
And you had to do
it.
He
took me in there. And I said to the guys, the hosts on the show, I said, guys, just so you know, I had a really big night. I'm just going to try to stay out of the way and just push the buttons. Did the show, somehow got through it. As I'm leaving, Craig Bruce, the big boss, who happened to be based in Adelaide at the time, I thought I'd got away with it. I'm sneaking out. He's like, hey, Sam, have you got a second? I'm like,
You hate that when a program manager says that?
So I go
into
his
office.
They want to
go through an air check or something.
And he's like, mate, I just got to say, your energy today was spot on. You absolutely nailed it, mate. That's exactly what we needed in the Brekkie Show. Well done. Terrific job. Have an awesome day.
But why didn't you say that across the room instead of pulling a power play and making your little sphincter go like this? Why do program managers of radio stations do that?
It's something that was big in the 90s that has sort of, you know, lingered around.
Surely it doesn't happen anymore, does it?
Well, not in TV for me anyway, but I guess...
They're a lot nicer and less insular. Yeah. And
open space, open plan these days.
I found when I was going from radio to working in TV... Like radio people, we go out and all they do is talk about radio.
Yes.
TV people, we hang out with them and they're like, I don't want to talk about TV.
Yeah, I agree with
really
that.
Care about it.
I met
much.
A lot of people who could only talk about radio. But just back to that story, the moral of the story is it's good to get drunk during the week. And you know,
absolutely.
Turn out great, everything's fine.
Double day.
And, don't drink responsibly.
Hey, definitely. Hey, I got a little quiz for you because, you know, you're a weatherman.
Sure.
And I thought, well, why don't we play a weather game?
Yeah, great.
So I invented a weather game.
Wow, you put so much work into this show.
I did. There was so much preparation. Actually, I got a guy in the Philippines. It's amazing. It's $5 on Fiverr.
Well, they've had some tough weather there. Poor guy. That's a bit too close to home
for him. They haven't they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so this game I'd like to call Weather or Not.
Oh, that's a good pun.
Yeah. Thank you. I always used to muck up the spelling with weather. I don't know whether I'll go to the beach and what's the weather today. Anyway, that's another
It's
story.
Interesting you say that because I've often thought if I write a book about my adventures as a TV weatherman, the working title was going to be Whether You Like It or Not.
Oh.
So, you know, we're basically sad pun enthusiasts hanging out.
So the way this works is I'll tell you a word because I Googled some weather words.
Right.
And you've got to say, that's weather. And if it's not, you just say it's not.
Okay, so we'll do a little, it's a good game for people to play along at home.
A little, yeah, play along at home as well. And you can practice this for the little first one. Okay, here we go. So I'd say precipitation.
Weather.
Perspiration.
Weather.
No, but sweating.
But it's weather affected, isn't it? Like you sweat when it's hot or it's
muggy. No, but it's weather affected. It's not weather. But that's all right. That was just a practice run.
I hated the practice run.
The practice run is fine.
Now I'm doubting everything I've ever learned about weather.
We can edit that out. Trust me, it gets easier. All right. Cloudless.
Weather.
Yeah. Clueless.
Are they people complaining about the show? Yeah, those messages coming through?
I think they are.
Just put that on silent.
Someone's messaging. Dog days.
Not weather.
Oh, that's weather.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, I Googled it, and apparently that's the name given to very hot summer.
Oh,
very
right.
Hot summer days.
Well, I know
in
the
a row.
Song.
It's more an American
Dog
thing.
Days are over. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah.
It's about weather.
Yeah.
I've listened to that song a million times. Didn't know it was about weather. What sort of a weatherman am I?
Tornado.
Weather.
Drizzle.
Weather.
Nizzle. It's just a word I
not
made
Not weather.
Up.
Yeah.
Snoop Dizzle.
Not weather.
Parched.
Not weather.
Yeah. Patchy.
Weather.
Hey! El Nino.
Weather.
La Nina.
Not weather. Is it?
La Nina happens when a change in a weather pattern makes the weather colder than it normally would be around... the world.
I don't talk in detail about that. People just want to know that it's 32 in Darwin.
El Nino and La Nina. Arid. Oh, it's arid. Not arid.
I feel you're like, trying to trick me now.
No.
Weather.
Yes. Arab.
Not weather.
Wizard.
Not weather.
Blizzard.
Weather.
Space Jam.
Great movie.
It's a new one with LeBron James.
Yeah.
He's doing the
and Michael Jordan back in the day. Mm. Not weather.
No. Ice Jam.
sounds like a wild night out in the cross, but I'm going to say not weather.
Oh,
it's a thing? It's a weather thing?
Ice Jam is an accumulation of broken river ice caught in a narrow channel, frequently producing local flooding.
Oh, well, I've been doing the job 2.5 years. I haven't encountered an ice jam yet. So, look, hopefully one day.
Jam.
Not weather.
Yeah, it goes on toast, usually. Moist.
Weather.
Is it?
This is the promo, isn't it?
Is it? Is moist...
Hang on. The whole idea of this whole show was so you could say moist to me and look at me weirdly.
Well, maybe. No, moist. Moist.
Yeah, moist conditions. Weather.
Do you say that?
I actually say it. And people giggle when I say it. And I'm like, guys, I'm a serious weather presenter. Please. Have some decorum.
Because moist wasn't in any of the lists, but I'm pretty sure I've heard you say moist on Sunrise before.
I have said
moist. What's feeling quite moist today?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll say moist conditions in Toowoomba. Deviants like yourself might take it down another path. But
when you describe moist conditions, do you mean that it's like, I feel like it's balmy or
kind
clammy?
Of, yeah, I would say closer to a muggy sort of sensation where there's a bit of a moisture in the air and a bit of, you know, you're sweating quite a bit.
Moisture in your plums.
Yeah.
Moisture.
Weather.
Yeah, there you go. And last but not least, this was the hardest one, but I think it's pretty obvious. Psychrometer.
psychrometer, was it? Yeah. I'm going to say weather.
Yes. A psychrometer is an instrument used to measure water vapor content of the atmosphere. Let me say that again. A psychrometer is an instrument used to measure water vapor content of the atmosphere.
You probably use one in Taree.
Yes, I did. A little stick.
There you go.
I used to use it for my drinks as well.
I loved that game. I pass the game?
Yeah, mate, you passed it with flying colours.
Oh, good.
You can keep your job at Channel 7 as the weatherman. And from weatherman, is there any future aspirations to go anywhere else? Like, what's the next big thing? Because you used to sort of have a bit of a Tonight Show with John Foreman that I came on once years ago. And that was so much fun.
That was the first time we met.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was called The Big Night In, and I was, I guess, the sidekick for John Foreman, and it was only one season, but I really enjoyed that. Lovely guy, John Foreman. I love the Tonight Show feel. I grew up watching shows like Conan O'Brien, David Letterman, these days, you know, Jimmy Fallon. I do love Tonight Shows. I don't know if Australia can have one at the moment on commercial TV.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I know.
We should.
And I agree.
It's
not hard
to do.
But I think the reason, and this is the reason that I've heard from, you know, when I've talked to people about it, is not enough high-profile celebrities to, you know,
to have
a tune-in factor.
But what about when Rove was doing it? I mean, he had some high-profile celebrities,
but it was
but
once a week.
Many.
It was once a week.
He would do all sorts of fun stuff with people out on the street. He'd say, okay, we're in this suburb. Everyone flick your light on and off. And
it was
everyone
awesome.
Everyone would love that
I
stuff.
I think that... Now, my point was about a nightly show. I wasn't talking about a weekly show because weekly. I think there's a
weekly
big difference
be okay.
in Australia. Yeah, I think we could definitely do it. Well, there's talk
but
of...
But if we could do it with Steve Vizard, that was every night.
Yes.
And then I think it was Graham Kennedy.
Tonight Live
with
Steve Vizard. And then
but there was less other media around everywhere.
Saturday Night Takeaway, Dr. Chris Brown, Julia Morris, I believe they're doing that, which is a show that they've done in the UK with Ant and Dex, the guy who do all the shows over there. So I think maybe this is the year there might be some of that... You know, that live variety, that's what we want.
But you'd want to do something like that.
I'd love to do that. Yeah. I mean, the most recent thing I did was get my clothes off for charity.
That was cool.
Yeah, the real Full Monty.
What was that like for you, the real Full Monty?
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, so me and seven other guys over the course of 6 weeks learned a dance routine / strip routine with Todd McKenney doing the choreography. And then we performed in front of 1,000 people at the Enmore Theatre. Mm. And we literally took everything off.
So people saw your wang?
Everything, yeah.
No way.
So they weren't allowed to take mobile phones in there.
Did you warm it up a little bit?
Yeah, discussion point. Who was it? Matt Cooper, NRL, former NRL player, Matt Cooper, gave me some strategic advice about that. And he said, look, you know, just gently wake it up. I think they were the words he used. I did. But then what happened was I was so scared about screwing up the choreography, or Corey as we now call it, because Todd McKenney was so strict with us and he really read us the right act. He's like, guys, if you screw this up, this is my name to your choreography. I've had a long career in theatre and music and dance. Don't you screw this up. So when you think about Todd getting angry at you, that doesn't help down there. So
if he's screaming at you from behind, I'm going to shrivel up.
Todd was awesome. He was great fun to work with, but that didn't help in that department. But the good thing for me was I was next to Chris Smith, so no one was looking at me. Oh. It was like Chris Smith's taking his clothes off.
Were you in
Who's the
show?
Weird weather dude next to him? Yeah.
Did you do a little side glance? Yeah. Oh, geez.
No, I had the same philosophy.
What I'm getting at.
Well, Shane Jacobson was the biggest personality of the group.
That's
I presume that's what you meant.
Yeah.
I had the same approach as bungee jumping. Whatever you do, don't look down. And that was something that I committed to for the entire filming of the show, rehearsals, and then even the performance. Jonesy, from Jonesy and Amanda, has no ass. And he's a terrible dancer, but
most
a lovely guy.
Most men have no ass, though.
Oh, I pride myself on it. So I actually got a full-time butt coach leading into it. My friend Karina, who...
Oh, you worked on it. So yeah, you actually built up your butt muscles.
Yeah, she told me what foods to eat and what sort of exercises to do. And it was kind of a journey. I went from pancake to peach over the course of 6 weeks. And I'm really proud of my curves.
Can we see your bum now? Can you stand up and give us a look? Give us a
Which
little...
Which camera?
Hey, just turn around.
Look. My anaconda don't. Is that the promo now?
Can you do the, what do you call it, when you twerk?
I'm not doing it. It's very expensive if you want the full routine.
All the guests do it. What's your problem? I don't understand why you don't have a girlfriend. That's ridiculous.
Tell me about...
With an ass like that.
See how I change the subject. Tell me about Kamil Tolovich.
Oh, Hilda Kamaltovich. Yeah. She's a Russian personal trainer here in Bondi, and she has her own Instagram at Kamaltovich.
I'm a fan.
And she saw that you were messaging her, and I think she sent you a few abusive messages back, because that's the way she speaks when she loves someone. She just
That tone then. I thought it was passion what she was writing to me.
That's her way of saying, please let me train you.
Oh, right. Well, what's her Instagram account if people want to follow her?
At Kamaltovich.
Yeah. I had an idea for her, if you want to pass it on. What about, you know how you've got Movember? What about Camel Toe-vember?
Oh, that could work really well. So it's a
big promotional month where you get your camel toes out and just to raise awareness about whatever charity or camel toes, if she's interested, she can use that.
It could be a lot of different things around that region. There's different problems that people have that we could raise money for.
Yeah, or just promotion for Lycra pants. It could be anything.
Or just getting waxed. Or you'll probably get one of those waxing companies or laser companies to sponsor.
All right,
well,
I showed you my curves, Chelsea Camel Toe.
Wait, you really want to see it?
Yeah. Australia wants to see it.
Not much of a camel toe. That's pretty embarrassing. It wasn't in the right position to give good camel toe.
Are you saying that wasn't a flattering angle for your camel toe, Mike?
I'm going to edit that in later and sort of make it look a little bit better. So you think it's me. Well, since we're talking about like Instagram and crazy stuff online, what about your crazy stuff online with dating? Do you get into Bumble or any of the Tinder or anything like that?
This surprises people. I've never used any form of dating app. Honestly, I just, something about it, like I've watched friends do it and I've operated it for friends, for lols, but I've never actually set up an account. I have featured on at least five people's accounts though, that people who've had photos with me have then said they're using me as swipe bait and having not much success. I'm like, well, don't use me and don't blame me. But I really feel that I want to meet someone either, the old fashioned way, Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or real life, IRL.
Instagram is like a in real life. Don't be ridiculous. Who would do that? That's disgusting. I'm going to have to cut that out as well. Yeah. Instagram is a way a lot of people meet people. It's like, hey, how are you doing?
Exactly. You know why? I feel that it's less threatening and there's less pressure attached to it and it's less creepy. It's a bit more, I chat to a lot of guys and girls on Instagram direct messages that there's no intention of any dating. I mean, we chat on direct message on Instagram, but I don't have any intention of dating you.
Really?
No.
Well, I guess that's all we've got time for.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for being on the show. So what kind of a girl are you looking for?
How good's the studio audience?
Any just a girl?
Yeah.
Maybe you should try gay.
No.
Why not?
Just not attracted.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like a lot of my best mates are gay and I love hearing about their lives and they're very happy, but not personally my vibe.
Fair enough. Glad we straightened that out.
Did you ask me a question?
Yeah. What kind of girl are you after?
Funny is crucial for me. Warm, as in warm personality. That's not a weather term. Warm. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to...
Because my girlfriend has a warm body. In summer, really? Like, stay on your side of the bed. Winter, come here.
Oh, really?
It's a good thing. I look for that.
I would love that. Not with your girlfriend, but...
Maybe Camel Tovich.
Is she single?
Yes, she is. Very.
All right.
Very. She's having a lot of trouble.
Wonder why.
Making her more angry.
Well, that's going to change in Camel Tovember.
So, yes. And so so you want her to be single, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that would help.
I think, someone who's funny, warm, non-smoker, animal lover, someone who just is relaxed. Mm. Because I find that sometimes people are so... highly strung and like they look for drama, and this like this couple of past relationships, things like that, I've found that there's just this kind of search for drama and trying to create drama that doesn't
do you think
need to
they actually
there.
Enjoy it a little bit, but they make out they don't, but they really do. That's why
know.
They keep looking for it.
I don't know, maybe it's just like a checklist. They're like, okay, well I've eaten breakfast, I've gone for my run, I haven't had any drama yet and it's almost midday. Excuse me,
do you think
maybe
Sydney people are more dramatic?
Yeah, I think there's a bit more of a buzz to Sydney people. Like Sydney people kind of have to be somewhere 10 minutes ago a lot of the time, so that adds to it. And Sydney people...
Grass is greener kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think...
I never had any luck dating people in Sydney.
Really?
Never.
Where did you find your lovely lady?
I found her in Brisbane.
Yeah, right.
Downtown Brisbane.
So tell me the story. How did it happen?
It was actually in acting class.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Were you a student or a teacher?
I was a student. It's more, not necessarily a class. It's like a workshop where actors get up and they work different scripts and stuff like that. And we started hanging out. And I didn't actually... think that she liked me at all.
I'm like that as well. I have no idea when someone likes me. Yeah.
And because she's way too hot for me. And
that's how I feel all the time.
And too young. I think this is ridiculous. And she had a part-time job, as most actors, actresses do. And she was a dental nurse.
Cool.
And she said, I think we're in conversation, she said, do you know, I just wish I could find a job where I didn't have to suck spit all day. And I said, I wish you'd suck my spit. And she grabbed me and kissed me. And I'm like, oh, this is happening.
Wow.
That's what I look like.
That's one of the great pickup lines. I've never heard that as a pickup line before.
That's absolutely.
You can suck my spit. You should get promotional t-shirts made with that. That's a winner.
I thought it was. So if anyone knows someone that he has just described, maybe you could just put their name in the comments box down the bottom.
Yeah.
And maybe we can set something up.
That'd be great. Mm. I mean, the other side of that is when, I don't know if you've ever had this, where you're in a relationship or you're kind of early days of a relationship and someone, they say to you that they love you, but you aren't quite there yet. Have you ever been in that situation where someone said, I love you, but you didn't really feel it enough to reciprocate?
You know, I would have probably just said I love you because...
Oh, so you just say even if you don't mean it?
Yeah. Okay, I would have, just because I would have gone, oh, yeah, I love you too.
Because you're a nice guy.
Because I think you could say I love you to people, but it'll mean different things. Like, I love you. I think you're a great guy. I love you. Oh, of course I love you. You're a beautiful girl. I love hanging out with you. I love making love to you. And then later on when shit gets real, then when you say I love you, it actually really means something. My mom was always really big on never tell them you love them.
She really?
Always say, please, just promise me one thing. Even when I start dating, go, please don't tell them that you love them. I said, I already did that on the internet and I haven't met her yet. You know, I just can't help myself.
Wow.
I get so caught up in the moment.
So I had one. This was in Adelaide. Probably been with this girl for a couple of months and it was going pretty well, but I don't think I was 110% into it. Mm. And we were watching a movie. She paused the movie. So dead silence in the house. And it was a pretty pivotal part of the movie. So I was a bit annoyed. Mm. And she said, look, I've just got to say this. I love you. Which was lovely that she felt that way and said that. But at this point, I wasn't in love with her and I didn't love her and I didn't want to mislead her. So maybe I was too honest. But
And then she left.
No, I paused for a moment and I wasn't going to say I love you. So I just said the first thing that came to mind.
Mm.
I said, do you want an apple muesli bar? Because in the corner of my eye on the bench, I had this packet of, you know, the 6-pack of apple muesli bars. And I thought she might be hungry and it might sort of divert her attention from what we just happened. And she said, oh, no, thanks. I'm fine. And then press play on the movie again.
Oh, no. And so that clearly that didn't work out.
No, it didn't. But we're friends. Mm. And
so you never fell in love with her?
But well, I don't know whether she just didn't like apple as a flavor or whether it was... Yeah, I wasn't in love with her, basically. Can you see why I'm single?
I'd get lust confused with love.
Yes.
I go, oh my God, I want this girl so bad. And then I'm so in love with her. And then after a few months, you'd realize, okay, that lusty thing's gone.
Yes.
And she's really fucking annoying. I got to get the hell away from this bitch. And then you realize it wasn't really love. And I think once I figured out those differences, and that was probably only in the last 10 years.
Right.
I started drifting away from telling people at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
Sorry to anyone out there that actually thought we were in love who's watching this.
Can you name them in alphabetical order?
Bastards. Anna, Barbara, Corrine,
Dominic.
Dominique. actually, it was.
Yeah.
Well, man, I hope you...
What, are you wrapping me up?
You find someone and...
Oh, no,
I'm not wrapping you up.
You're wrapping up my love life. Can I ask you... Mm. You used to do the voiceovers as well for Big Brother, didn't you?
Yeah.
So can I never got to go on the show, but I watched a lot of it. In fact, in the first season, I just got a job at Triple M. I just started radio. I was like, I don't know, 19 or something.
Didn't you do a competition and ended up winning a job as a co-host
on
the radio?
Yeah. Who wants to be a co-host on air? Yeah. I won that in Adelaide and the prize was to go to Edinburgh in Scotland, review acts in the Edinburgh Fringe. And I came back and got offered a job. It was awesome.
That's
great
so
way
cool.
to start.
Yeah.
But my first job, like kind of lackey job, was like cutting up audio of what had happened in the Big Brother house overnight for the radio show to play on the Triple M breakfast show the next morning.
Right.
So Andy the Dominatrix. Olympics, you know, yes. Sarah Marie.
He won.
The OG, yeah, the original gangsters.
It's 18 years ago.
That's crazy. That was literally when I just started in media. I was like, I don't know, 18, 19. But my question was, oh, thank you very much.
Oh, yes, thank you. This is Brock back here.
Thanks, Brock.
Brock Obama, he's in charge of the drinks.
Now this looks really bad if I have two sitting there.
Oh, so it's only two. That's okay. You're not allowed to actually have beer in a broadcast facility. It's actually in the...
Really?
Yeah, it's in the act.
Is this a broadcast facility?
As well. No, it's not. This is just like the internet.
Yeah, it's just a normal living room.
There's no rules of drinking on the internet. But there are actually rules in the... I'm not sure what they call the actual... The Broadcasting Tribunal Act or whatever it is.
Yes.
When I was doing Big Brother Up Late, I can say it now. I used to have a beer at the back of the couch sometimes.
Did you?
In the commercial break.
Oh, I love that. You know, you could just put it in a mug and no one would know what you're drinking.
That would have been this clever thing.
A Big Brother branded mug. But what I was going to ask was, could you bring it out of retirement, your Big Brother voiceover voice, and maybe, I don't know, narrate me? Like that would be an honor. Like, it's something that I've always thought.
You really want me to do
that? If I ever hang out with Mike, like, I don't care if I look like an idiot. I'm going to ask him to narrate me as if I'm a Big Brother contestant.
I can narrate you if you like.
This is great. So do you want me to do anything? Or
no, you can just do whatever comes naturally. Cool. And I'll just come back to the break.
Actually, all right, hang on a sec.
So do you want me the Big Brother narrator voice?
Yeah.
Or like I'm sitting on Big Brother Up Late talking about what the housemates are doing?
Let's go narrator voice.
Narrator, okay.
Yeah.
It's 2 a.m. in the Big Brother house. Sam is in the backyard having a Yenda Pale Ale and realizing... It's still dark outside, and he's wearing his sunnies.
Oh, it's still dark outside. Why am I wearing my sunnies?
Then he decides to take them off, put them down, and stare at his microphone lovingly, and start to stroke it, knowing that the other housemates are all asleep.
We'd never get away with this on Channel 7. That was so cool. That's all I need. Like, life goal complete. Thank you.
Anytime, sunshine.
Do you enjoy like slipping back into that mode? Is it fun? Is there like a sense of nostalgia to it?
It is. I felt like I was on the show all over again.
Yeah.
You never know. I think the show should come back because it produces so much content.
It does.
And pumping
and talking
out,
points.
Constantly pumping out information and things about housemates and
I agree.
You know, 24/7 and because, you know, people are using the internet now more than ever.
And you know what?
It's made for
it. I think that it had, even though there was a lot of dodgy moments, silly moments, you know, pointless moments, sexy moments, whatever. Mm. There were a lot of moments over the course of that show where I think it was really important. For example, having Johnny the gay guy. Was that season one or two?
Season one.
Now, at that time, this might sound crazy to young people watching this, but there weren't a lot of gay people represented outwardly on TV. So for a mainstream, broad Australian audience to see, oh, that Johnny bloke's a good dude, I thought such a simple thing, but I thought things like that happened on Big Brother over the years and lots of conversations came up and learning how to treat and how not to treat people and what's okay and what's not okay. So it really was that social experiment thing that the whole thing was designed with that 1984 George Orwell.
And people coming from all walks of life all over Australia, and people could sit there and hear people have a conversation that you think, oh, maybe you can't talk about that kind of thing in public, but people talking about it. And you can relate to them.
Yes.
And understand their point of view. And you'd be against that person's point of view. And then you'd take it to work and you'd start talking to other people about it. And that's sort of what got all the excitement about it. When we used to pick the housemates, I mean producers.
Yeah.
I like to make out I'm a producer. And they would mark the housemates from 1 to 5.
In terms of what?
They'd say whether or not they want them on the... They love them or hate them.
Yeah.
And we would never pick housemates that got a number 5 rating from everyone, like the 10 producers or 20 producers or whoever had a say.
Yeah.
Because we want people who you'd be really opinionated over. So you might think that person's awesome and gets 5, but I might think that person's an idiot and gets a 1.
Yeah.
That's a perfect housemate.
But it makes you feel something.
It'll make you go to work and say, oh my God, I love this person. You talk to me like, I can't stand them.
Yeah.
And you would talk about it. It's boring if you just love them and, aren't they great?
And it's that classic thing of it's almost, and then you become like a sporting event. You're cheering for that person. Like that's your team. You're like, I love that guy, you know, or I hate that guy, whatever it is. Mm. And then you're passionate about it. And that's right. You do talk about it. So I agree. It'd be awesome if it come back. Do you think it will come back?
It's a very expensive show to make.
Yeah. Particularly your salary.
Expensive my salary, thank you very much. 24 hours a day filming. Mm.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of cabling and cameras and two-way glass. That's why, I mean, shows like Love Island, which all the producers are working on that are all ex-Big Brother producers. Alex Mavridakis, he was executive producer on Big Brother, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and now Love Island. Yeah. Like, they're all working on that show. And but they're shooting them overseas because in some cases it works out a hell of a lot cheaper.
Right.
I mean, they're using the Love Island house that the UK use as
I see. And that's like in I'm a Celebrity, they use the one that Aussie is done in Africa is used by another couple of countries for theirs. And then the UK one is used, the Gold Coast one, don't they?
Yeah, just makes it a hell of a lot cheaper. What, do you watch any reality TV?
Yeah.
What's your favourite show?
I really enjoy reality TV. I actually worked on the first season of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I was at Channel 10 still. And
That's right. Yeah, you had a little... hosting role or something.
I did. So I went over there. I went to Africa a couple of weeks before it launched. Yeah. This is season one, and did behind the scenes interviewing, you know, people who were going in and things like that. But then when I came back, I hosted something called Fallout Zone or FOZ, which was along the lines of what you used to do with Big Brother Up Late.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't on TV. It was live online, and we would have a live feed of what was happening in the jungle, and I would commentate it. Basically, I'd have guests come in. It was like a podcast, but with, you know, the pictures online, and it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. It was along the lines of, I remember when you would be on and they'd be like asleep, and you'd be like, "Well, we've got to fill the airtime. Like, what are we going to do?
What are we going to do now?"
Yeah. What would you do? What was your kind of go to when they were asleep? What would you just talk about, voting or?
Well, I always pushed to have guests, but then for the first few years I said, no way, you're not going to let you have guests. You can do this quiz. You can write some notes. And like we didn't even have video packages the first year.
Yeah, right.
And I was literally left to sit there and talk.
Amazing.
And I just had to make stuff up. I remember the show The Panel?
Yeah.
With Glenn Robbins.
Yeah.
And
yeah, great show. Working Dog.
Yeah, all the Working Dog guys. I remember one night they played the highlights of my show and they were just pissing themselves going, look at this poor guy. He's just sitting there trying to figure out what the hell he's going
but
to
that's
do.
Why it was so awesome, and that's why it was hard to turn it off.
Have you been watching Big Brother Up Late? I'm going to take my hat off to the guy who does it. I think his name's Mike Goldman. Because
Who
hosts it. Because he's doing 2 hours of television, live television a night, with people who may well be asleep.
Yes.
He's got one camera and you watch him, he doesn't miss a beat. It's not, you're not going, oh God, what's he going to do next? He just keeps on going.
What does he say?
He talks, he takes calls, he does a bit of a competition, he goes back to the house, says, I think we've got a bit of him.
Something happened, all right? And say, what kind of a freak am I? All right, I feel a little bit weird talking about someone who's talking in their sleep. Yes, it's strange, I know. Now I'm talking to myself. You think you're weird? You think I'm weird? Let's get back to watching someone sleep.
Because you kind of had this feeling of like, nothing's happening, but I feel that something might happen. And it's interesting just watching you negotiate your way through that. And I found that when I was doing that Fallout Zone thing. Yeah. We had moments where, for legal reasons, there'd be a conversation going on.
Oh, yeah.
And they would cut away from that conversation just because, you know.
Now, talk about drugs, or talk about alcohol, talk about other people that might have done something
wrong.
That's
right. And mentioning names because they think. And this is the first season, so they've done the elimination or whatever. They think they're completely off the air, and you know, and they know they're wearing mics, but they're like, oh, we can talk about whatever.
Yeah.
So when that was happening, when I was hosting Fallout Zone, they would just cut to a shot of a waterfall. So I would have to commentate a waterfall. Sometimes I think the record was 14 minutes of just vision of a waterfall.
No.
So I would start talking about how, you know, like, TLC once taught us, you know, that you can't go chasing waterfalls. You know, you've just got to stick to the rivers and the lakes like you used to. And I've always found it as great life advice. And then just babbling about waterfalls. Yeah. But I enjoyed the challenge of it. And I'm sure, did you get a bit of a kick out of like, when you're like, well, there's nothing here
I'd
to work
always
with,
have to come
but you've
up
got
with
to
random
go for
stuff.
It.
Like, we had this segment that I would do where I'd go inside the person's brain and say, let's listen to what Sam Mack is actually thinking. Right now. Gee, that Mike guy, he's not such a bad bloke after all. I like being on this show. He's supplied beer and he's our top bloke. I wonder how he actually makes money. He's got a nice house. I wonder if he sells drugs or something. Must be something weird going
on. This camera guy must be selling drugs, yeah.
I go inside their brains and, you know, all sorts of random stuff like that
But that's fun, though. I think that I find that kind of, you know, creativity and improvisation, I guess, is really good fun. Like, last year or the year before, I started doing improv classes just for something, you know, unique to spend time. ITS, which is in Sydney, in They got a little setup there with Giant Dwarf and Redfern.
What kind of games did you play? I did Groundlings in the US. It's super awesome. Fun. You know, where Will Ferrell went.
Yeah, that's hugely popular. Yeah, well, that's kind of where a lot of the big names have come from, Groundlings, haven't they?
What challenges did you do?
All sorts of games, but a lot of the kind of just the yes and philosophies. Like, you know, someone starts a story and then you just kind of add to the story and see where
Never
it goes.
Never say no.
Yeah, yeah. And I did maybe like three levels of it. And if I wasn't doing this job, I would definitely continue doing it. Like, not necessarily for any to do live performances of it, but to just massage that skill and have that muscle of...
Yeah, being just, able to just be improv.
Yeah, being able to say think yes and. Out there, like instead of down here.
Should we do one now?
Sure.
A yes and.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to refresh my memory how it goes. Like, so I make up a story and you say, yes, and we did this.
Exactly. Yeah. So do we want to have a topic for the story?
Brock, give us a topic, do you?
Anyone from the audience. Anyone can pick a topic. Brock, what would you like?
Up back there. Yeah. What's the topic?
Just behind that group of hot
fishing.
Girls.
Fishing. That's fishing. A great idea.
Thank you.
Yeah. So are we actually pretending we're fishing or we're telling a story about the time we're fishing?
We are fishing.
Oh, we are fishing.
Yeah, so
we're like,
yeah.
Okay, let's go fishing.
So how much was your rod?
It was actually a Christmas present from my Auntie Susan.
Oh, how is she?
She's dead.
Oh, but, yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, she died in a bizarre fishing accident.
Oh, no. Is this too soon for you to go fishing? Because we don't have to do fishing now if you don't want to.
No, this is actually how the doctor said I have to deal with it.
Oh, so you're overcoming.
It's fine. It's helping me deal with it. But I really just... I don't want to talk about Susan or the rod. I mean, I probably should have told you that, but I do really admire your rod. It's so big and long and shiny.
What, this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is
very impressive.
From my uncle Gavin.
Oh, right.
He died recently.
Oh, no. How did he die?
He died in a tractor accident.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah.
Hang on, let me just unfurl it.
Yeah. Wait! He's really got something.
I got one! Wait!
What do you got there?
Come on! I wonder if my fist is just out of shot and this looks like I'm doing something else. come on. Oh, yeah.
What? It's a tiny little...
It's a picture of Susan. Fish. That's weird.
It's a picture.
That is so weird.
It's a fishy picture of Susan.
That's so weird.
That's bizarre. What is
it? Can I keep that picture?
It's a sign from God. She's watching. We could go on for hours.
Yeah, and no one would watch.
No, I think that was good.
Well, I think people bought into the emotion of Susan. You know, cheers. Well done.
Well done, man.
And I think
I haven't done a yes and for years.
There's no wrong answer in that. Is there? It's just go with it. Whatever.
You've just got to say yes. And did you ever play any other weird games in your improv classes? Like they have chickens and goats.
I didn't play that one. How did that one work?
We won't play that because not enough people. But what you do is like it's about 20 people in the room. They all stand on stage and they got to close their eyes. Yeah. And the instructor goes around and goes, you're a chicken, you're a goat, you're a chicken, you're a goat. And you have to just go, and you have to, within a certain amount of time, find your group.
I love it.
And just split up into your group.
I love it.
And everyone's feeling each other.
Is that how you met your lady?
Yeah, that's how we met.
Yeah,
I was like, hey, baby.
Yeah, we can be goats together.
Get your hands up that thing.
Yeah. What was the line again? I want to suck your spit.
I want to suck your spit. Yeah. No, she said, I wish I didn't have to suck spit. Even he's depressed. I wish I didn't have to suck spit for a living because she's a dental nurse. And I said, I wish you'd suck my spit. And she did.
That's like a live feed of how the audience are feeling right now. What's it called? Is it the worm when people are on election night? The worm's like,
sorry about that.
When they started the improv.
Do you get into politics much? I mean,
a lot of people,
you know, they're obviously Tekashi and everyone, they're talking about it every morning and they'll cross to you and you might be with a politician or someone.
Yeah, we did a morning at Julie Bishop's office in Canberra, which was one of my favourite mornings. She was really fun. Yeah, she was just, she's got that steely gaze and that kind of that, almost like RBF. Resting bitch face like Coco, but she was so lovely to deal with. And we played a game which I came up with called 1 minute ish with Jay Bish, and it involved her doing like a game show style walk on. So there was this great moment, they were coming to us a bit early, so my producer was like, Julie, can we just get you to hide behind that cardboard for a moment? So he's telling the Deputy Prime Minister to hide behind a little bit of cardboard because I wanted to do a game show style. Welcome, Jay Bish!
No.
But she did it and she was very funny and it was actually a really cool morning. I do enjoy politics. My ex-girlfriend was in politics, so I know
Oh, yeah,
quite a bit
do?
About it. She was running sort of in a local, you know, in New South
local
Wales.
Local council
yeah,
stuff.
But yeah, but she didn't make it. She didn't get voted in. But she, I just sort of, through a lot of her work, I'm a big animal lover. She did a lot of campaigning to try to improve things with animals. Yeah. And so she was trying to follow things that she was passionate about. And it's a tough gig. And I feel for some politicians, they always get a bad rap, all of them. But I think there's a few good eggs in there. And I don't think the good eggs are in, you know, office at the moment. And I think we're a bit of an international embarrassment.
It's just the squabbling that goes on and the fact
it becomes less about the country and more about them.
Everyone's,
and it has been for a while
everyone's
now.
Fighting for power.
Yeah.
It's like, well, how can we get that guy out so that we've got more power? Like, there's a loophole in the system where if his father was from another country, he might have a dual passport so we can kick him out. Like it happened to Barnaby Joyce.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, Barnaby's been in a bit of trouble lately because,
he has.
You know, the relationship thing, but he's so loved out in the regional areas, and they don't give a stuff. And when he fixed up his citizenship thing, he came back with stronger, with more votes. I think it's 75% or
really?
Something. And Jackie Lambie's coming back, and she's going to be doing the same thing. But just all that little crappy things.
Yeah,
they're trying to get one up on each other. It's so annoying.
I often think that the media cares more about a lot of those, you know, those disputes.
The media beats it up more, do you think?
Than the public do. Yeah. I think the public will consume it because it's what's there. But I think the media...
keep shoving the microphone in their face.
Yeah, let's hang on to this story and stretch it out over 7 weeks when really it could have been done in a few days.
Yeah. So we're in the middle of
blame us.
It's us. There's a by-election happening on the 20th of October here in the electorate of Wentworth, which we're in at the moment in the eastern suburbs. Do you live around here?
Yeah, Darlinghurst. So not far.
And Karen Phelps is the independent who's running, and I met her this morning and had a chat to
How
her.
How was that?
It's on a Facebook Live. You can go and check
it
out.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, she's really cool. She's a fascinating lady. I mean, she was the Deputy Lord Mayor, and she's the head of the Australian Medical Association.
Awesome.
OAM.
She's been on TV
stuff.
A lot as well, hasn't she? Done a lot of, over the years, a lot of expert advice.
And ScoMo, the Prime Minister at the moment, he was across the road only an hour ago at some little kid's school.
Was he really?
With the local Liberal.
Did you see him?
Guy running Liberal. No, because we just started doing this show. We missed it. But see, you're more
How do you know
important
that then?
Because there are all these people running. Do you see the Sky News vans out the front and the police cars and stuff like that? Yeah,
Are you doing improv again?
Just chewing, chewing on your kebab. I swear to God, that is actually across the road. Well, he's here because he wants to win this election.
So what you're saying is the Prime Minister is on your street, but you're interviewing a TV weatherman.
That's right. That's all I care
love
about.
This show.
But the thing is the Prime Minister is going to be here pretty much for the next month. Because come October 20, if the Liberal Party don't win, they lose the balance of power to an independent or Labor.
Yeah. So he's going to be working all these streets.
He has to.
So you'll probably have him on the show a couple of times.
Door knocking.
Yeah.
And like just we were down on Bondi Beach with Karen Phelps and like so many people coming up to her and saying, wow, we really love what you're doing.
Oh,
you know,
that's good.
You know, we're a big fan of yours. And so it's going to be a really interesting few weeks here for sure. You'll probably have to do a few crosses down here.
I
over
hope
the next
so.
Couple of
we
weeks
can hang out, Mike.
And speak to them, definitely.
Do you remember, do you know Mark Maron? He has a very successful podcast. He's an American comedian.
I heard him.
He somehow, because huge numbers like downloading his show around the world, he managed to get Barack Obama on his podcast and he records his podcast in his garage at his house. So Barack Obama's security detail came there like the week leading up to it. They had intelligence officers. They closed three streets.
They scanned everything.
He went into the garage, hung out for an hour and a half, did the podcast. It was brilliant. So what I'm saying is if he can get Obama, you can get ScoMo.
Maybe I should go and get
Start
ScoMo.
The campaign. He's working this area.
I'm having FOMO about ScoMo.
There you go. You've got a catchphrase and everything.
I could sort that out, sure. But then again, I was talking to the independent, Karen Phelps, this morning, and I was, you know, sort of giving a bit of stick to her opponents, trying to fish her in to see if she'd get in a bit of a stoush. And going, you know, the Liberal Party guy, you know, he was born in, I think he was born in Canada.
Right.
And, you know, he's got his Indian heritage. I mean, should he check his background? I'm like, come on, you're going to go there? And she goes, no, let's just stick to the subject. Let's just stick to the facts. And I'm like, okay, fair enough. So hopefully I might have burnt my bridge there.
Well, why don't you just extend the invitation to both of them? You know, you could fit another chair around here.
Absolutely.
You'd have to lose a few of the studio audience members, but I think it's possible.
Would you ever get into politics?
I don't think so. No. I love watching it as a spectator, but it's a really hard gig and I don't think you get a lot of love. And
you don't.
People are out to stab you in the back all the time. You're never really comfortable. It's... we think TV or media is bad. Like politics, I think, is another few levels.
Absolutely. My godfather, who later became my stepdad, That's a whole nother story. He was a federal politician for 30 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and it's one of the toughest jobs.
It would be,
and not just in the way that you've got, you know, pensioners ringing you up every day going, are they going to take my pension away? I don't know what I'm going to do with my, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, dealing with people trying to get their families in from other countries.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that can be quite rewarding when it works out, but... The other side of it where you just have to go to, like, school fetes. You have to go to school awards
Fruit
nights.
Factories.
Yeah, you have to go to, you know, all these random events.
Yeah.
And that, but that's part of the job.
And isn't it challenging when you see the prime minister or whichever politician it is trying their best to pretend to be interested in how they manufacture the lids for Coke bottles? Like, oh, is that how you do it?
Those tours of weird factories. Yeah. Like
wearing those hairnet things.
And then they go back to parliament and have a whole stack of fights about stuff. We end up with another prime minister. Like, what have we had, 7 in 10 years?
Yeah.
We're an international stock of the
we
world.
Really are. I mean, I love John Oliver. He's one of my favourite shows. Yeah. And we feature on there every week, which is not a good thing.
We do. Whether it's about guns
yeah.
or it's about the Australian Parliament
yeah.
or something ridiculous going on. How do you like working with the Sunrise crew? They're a good bunch.
I love it. You know, the thing that people don't realise is that I rarely see them.
Oh, really?
Because my job is predominantly travel. Last year, so I've been doing the job, the Sunrise Weather gig for, this is my third year of it now.
Yeah, wow, cool.
Yeah, last year I did 160 work-related flights.
Wow.
So you're constantly...
Your frequent flyers must be awesome.
Yeah, but then you get a holiday and you just want to stay at home, watch Netflix because you're like, I'm sick of being at the airport. I'm sick of driving. But the team have been really good with me, really supportive, particularly Koshy early on. I think I'm an Adelaide guy. He's an Adelaide guy. He was very supportive even when I was just filling in bits and pieces. Rarely do they say, don't do that or you can't do that. Honestly, I could count on one hand the amount of times I've said that because...
That's cool.
We're filling 3.5 hours of show a day. It's a lot. And not everything is going to work and not everything is going to be amazing, but you've just got to keep batting it up and keep trying to kind of make what you can of whatever situation you're in. You know, if you're in... Darwin and you've got a crowd of 7 people, try to make the most of it. You know, we're doing this thing at the moment, Australia A to Z, where people can nominate for us to come to their towns.
Yeah, cool.
We just did G this week, so Geelong, picking it up next week. We're doing a couple of days a week, but it's been awesome hearing from all these people from all these places that I'd never even heard of some of them. There's only one town in Australia that begins with the letter X, and I think it's pronounced Xantippe.
No,
and it's about 4 hours drive out of Perth, and 22 people live there. So I think that would be an awesome morning to do the show.
With all those 22
people.
Yeah,
well, we might get half of them. Who knows? But
that's
wouldn't
so cool.
that be great?
Yeah.
And that's the thing I like about the job. There's no real boundary in terms of idea. You can pitch something and more often than not, even though I'm doing weather, weather is one part of the job. It's really kind of interviewing people, visiting places, travel, doing entertainment. You know, last year I released a hit single with Nikki Webster, Strawberry Kisses 2017.
I love what you did because obviously this strawberry drama with some idiots putting some needles in strawberries.
Yeah.
And so you've come out and this is perfect. We can promote strawberries and I can sell some more singles at the same time. Nikki Webster, get out of here.
Yeah, so we got
that was great. And you put an extra little rap in there supporting the farmers.
That's
really
right.
Cool.
I think it's important. That was an acoustic Sam acoustic version and she was so happy to be involved because she, you know, wanted to do her bit. And she'd actually been contacted by literally 50 or 60 different people, radio stations. I think the Deputy Prime Minister's office contacted to say, can we use your song in this video that we're doing about it? Wow. So her phone had been running hot.
That's
you know,
great.
She is the face of strawberries.
Yep.
You know, 18 years ago almost that she released that song.
Hmm.
And a bit of music trivia. It only made it to number 2 in Australia. It couldn't top Shaggy, It Wasn't Me.
Oh,
it was number 1.
Really?
I'm a big Shaggy fan.
Yeah,
went to see him live.
That is a great song.
No, not were. I am a big Shaggy
still
fan. I am a big Shaggy fan.
Man,
I went to see him live last year. He's still touring.
Are you still touring?
Yeah, he played the Big Top Luna Park and I bought a t-shirt, Shaggy's face on it and all the tour dates on the back. There's only 3, but that's all right. And the best part about it was the most eclectic crowd you've ever seen in your life.
Really, all different people.
You can't pick a Shaggy fan.
Yeah, wow.
You got people in their 50s. You got 16-year-old kids. It was a bit of everything. And I think that week there'd been a terror attack.
Mm.
And who do you turn to in times of trouble?
Shaggy.
Mr. Bombastic. Mm-hmm. So he gets up on stage, does the first couple of songs, and then he says something like, he's like, you know, there's a lot of bad stuff happening in the world right now. And everyone's like, ooh, he's referring to the terror attack that just happened.
Mm.
He goes, let me tell you, the worst thing that's going to happen tonight, one of your girls going to go get pregnant. And everyone cheers. Yes, Shaggy, yes. And then he goes,
And if that happens, I'll just say it wasn't me.
And then the song starts. I was like, whoa, that's art. That is art.
I love your songs. You lately on your Instagram, you've been dressing in this 80s gear.
Yeah.
I think you did it at the World Square.
I did, yeah.
On the Dragon
Stairs.
To the
Huey Lewis song, Do You Believe in Love?
So cool.
Great song.
That was brilliant. And you did another song with your imaginary girlfriend.
Chloe, yeah.
As well. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. What song did you
Walking
use?
On Sunshine.
Walking on Sunshine, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Chloe, your imaginary girlfriend.
Yeah.
Have you got any other songs planned that you're going to be doing on your Instagram? Because they're great.
Thank you. Chloe and I split up. She was having an imaginary affair with her imaginary personal trainer, which, you know, Rich. Like you and Susan, I don't really want to sort of go into it too much. But rest Susan's soul. But I think that they're just fun, and that's what I love about Instagram. That's what I love about what you're doing here. Like, you can just do whatever you want.
Yeah.
There's no rules, and I think that resonates with people because often, you know, in a professional or a commercial sense, understandably, there's things that have to be done, there's boxes that have to be ticked, but you can put anything you want out there. I can do any song I want, and there's no rules, except for potentially copyright infringement. But
how'd you get away with that?
I don't know. Have I got away with it? I don't know. Don't go to my Instagram page.
And would you ever like record any songs on the guitar or release something?
Well, something I'm thinking of doing.
A comedy album?
I don't know. Like, I love, like, it's one of my favorite hobbies. I see you got a few guitars around as well.
Yeah.
Don't you find that it's one of the most relaxing things? They look cool. Shout out to the studio audience who are holding them. Don't you find that it's one of the nicest ways to relax?
Yeah,
I love that on a Friday, getting home, having a beer, butchering a few songs. Like today I was playing Dancing in the Moonlight by Top Loader.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, very catchy song. I just went onto Google, found the chords, bang.
What's your go-to song? People go, play us a song. You go, okay, and you know in the back of your mind, what do you want to hear? I know, I'll do this one. And you just do one that you know that you nail every single time. What's that song?
I don't think I nail any of them every single time, but I...
Yeah, here we go.
I do enjoy, you know... Lady in Red is a great song.
Lady in Red.
Yeah, Christa Berg.
You do the, like, acoustic on the guitar.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. I enjoy playing with songs you wouldn't normally do on a guitar, like a Shaggy song. Like I've done Angel by Shaggy a few times.
Cool.
Yeah, what do you play?
Mostly originals. Actually, I could play one of mine and you could play one of yours.
I found my guitar!
How lucky. Okay. Well, I won't play the whole thing because it's ridiculous.
I'm excited.
Here we go. My head stuck out a window, staring at the stars. I'm listening to Bowie's Love on Mars. I'm wondering, what could be out there? Take me away on a holiday. Take me away on a holiday. Aliens, two best feels. Aliens, cut up my car. And then it has this weird breakdown bit where it goes, it's like a guy being hypnotized.
Yeah.
And the doctor's saying, you are now hypnotized and under my spell. Tell me exactly what happened. You sound like Sean Connery a bit. Well, the aliens, they sucked me up the ship. They stuck a big probe up my ass, and then they started to cut up my cock. No! Aliens, two best videos. Aliens, cut my cock. Anyway.
So it's going to be on a children's album.
Yes. Kids track, obviously.
Yeah, I love it. It's catchy.
Your turn. Maybe you should do something commercial.
So I just
something we know.
The bit when it's like, is that the guy reacting to the aliens?
Going,
Yeah, so that's in surgery.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when I wrote it.
I like it. It's very good fun. Can we find it? Can we hear it somewhere? Is there a recording that we could...
Absolutely. I'll put it in the comments section so people can download it for free.
Brilliant. Love it.
With this, what are you going to play?
I will do that. It'll be on my gym playlist. I'm going to do, one of the great philosophers of our time, Miley Cyrus.
Oh, beautiful.
With Party in the USA. But the version that I do is imagine a dad trying to be cool to his teenage daughter and her friends. So imagine, like, you know, a group of 15, 16-year-old girls having a pool party. Dad comes out and he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to play you a tune. So that's the kind of vibe.
That's your vibe. Okay, yeah, that vibe. Works. It makes sense.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream in my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame and excess. Am I going to fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy, everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio and a Jay-Z song was on. A Jay-Z song was on. A Jay-Z song was on, come on. So I put my hands up to play my song, The Butterfly Fly Away. Flag, not in my head like yeah. Flag, moving my hips like yeah. I got my hands up to play my song, I know I'm gonna be okay. Goldman.
Hey, yeah, yeah. Party in the USA.
Hey, yeah, yeah. There's a party in the USA. Thank you, good night.
Yes. I missed my cue, so
I was like, flag,
flag.
I couldn't actually stop to point because I was playing the song.
Sam Mack, brilliant song. Thank you for being on the mic. You're amazing.
What an honor. Thank you.
We rocked it.
Was this in your top 80 episodes?
Oh, mate, definitely in the top 100. top end of the 100.
So many memories.